We continue our studies in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6. And we read the first five verses telling the story of Christ walking through the cornfields with his disciples on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. On a Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered, "Have you not read in the first book of Samuel what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the very house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word and grant us an understanding of it. We continue today our studies in Luke's Gospel and consider the very famous story of Jesus walking through the cornfields on the Sabbath with his disciples. This, in fact, is one of several episodes in the Gospel dealing with Christ's attitude to the Jewish Sabbath. And in each of these Sabbath episodes, he comes face to face with the Pharisees and their misinterpretation of God's Sabbath, and indeed of the perversion of God's Sabbath into a day of bondage and of tyranny. For example, later on in this sixth chapter, at verse 6, we read of the next episode, these words, "On another Sabbath day, when Jesus entered the synagogue and taught, a man was there whose right hand was withered." That's the next Sabbath episode. And once again, we see Jesus on a collision course with the Pharisees. Further on in Luke's Gospel, in the 13th chapter at verse 10, we read these words. "Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus diagnosed this lady's problem immediately. He said that she had been bound by Satan for 18 years. And this Sabbath episode leads to the question, is it lawful to heal and to do good on the Sabbath day? And once again, Jesus finds himself on a collision course with the Pharisees. Further on in Luke's Gospel, at the 14th chapter, there is yet another Sabbath incident, the well-known story of the man who was suffering from dropsy. And Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. And again the question comes to the surface, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And once again, Jesus finds himself on a collision course with the Pharisees. And in each of these incidents, one message stands out. And it is this: a work of compassion and of mercy stands above all the works of God. The man whose hand was withered and the woman who had been bowed down by Satan for 18 years and the man who was suffering from dropsy, all these people stood in need of the compassion and the mercy of God. And therefore, compassion and mercy stand above all the other works of God. And the point about the story in these opening five verses of Luke chapter 6 is this. The disciples were hungry and they stood in need of compassion and of mercy. They had gone for a walk on the Sabbath day and they found themselves strolling through the cornfields. And so they plucked the ears of corn and started to rub the husks in their hands. And in fact, this was allowed by the law of God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25 these words, "When you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing corn." In other words, you can't make a harvest of your neighbor's corn, but you can pluck the ears and eat them. And so the disciples were rubbing the ears of corn with the palms of their hands. But the Pharisees argued that when you rub the corn in your hands to take the husks off, you were using your hands as millstones. You were grinding corn at the mill. And that was work and was therefore a violation of the Sabbath. And that's why the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? Why are you grinding at the mill on the Sabbath day?" Going for a walk was all right. Plucking corn was all right. Grinding corn was all wrong. And that was how the Pharisees argued. But Jesus sets compassion and mercy above all the works of God. His men were hungry. Hungry men need food, and feeding hungry men is a work of compassion and mercy. And just to illustrate his point, Jesus tells the famous story of King David in 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's one of the shadier stories about David in the Old Testament. David is on the run from Saul, who is hunting his life. And David and his men came to a little place outside Jerusalem called Nob. And in Nob, there was a small shrine to God. And David and his men were starving. And so they barged their way into the shrine of God and asked the priest for bread, but the only bread available was the loaves from the table of showbread. It was the bread of the presence, and that was reserved for God and the priests. It was holy bread. It was sacred bread. It wasn't bread for ordinary people. But human hunger calls for compassion and mercy. And so the strict letter of the law was waived, and compassion and mercy triumphed, and the holy bread was given to David and his men. Now, says Jesus, if the hunger of King David, the great king of Israel, led to a waiving of the strict letter of the law in favor of compassion and mercy, what can be wrong when my hungry men grind corn with the palms of their hands? Christ exalts compassion and mercy above the works of God. And if you know the spiritual history of Scotland, you will know that Christ's teaching here in these Sabbath episodes has been incorporated into our Christian life in Scotland for the 400 years since the Reformation. In the Westminster Confession of Faith and in the two Scottish catechisms, the Longer Catechism and the Shorter Catechism, the Confession and the catechisms being the very fabric of Scottish spirituality. We read there about the works of necessity and of mercy. The works of necessity and of mercy are allowed on the Lord's Day for two reasons. First of all, because Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And secondly, the Lord's Day is a continuation of the Jewish Sabbath. The Lord's Day is the Christian Sabbath. If I can put this pictorially, on the one side, you have the Jewish Sabbath, which was Saturday, the last day of the week. And the emphasis in the Jewish Sabbath is on rest. And the great example is God himself, who rested on the seventh day of creation. And God rested on the Saturday, not because he was exhausted. God cannot be exhausted. God could have gone on creating universes after universes after universes forever without exhaustion. But God rested on the seventh day because he wanted to enjoy himself and to take pleasure in the works of his hands. It was the rest of self-enjoyment and satisfaction in work that was well done. We read that God looked on his creation and saw that it was very good. And so he rested in the goodness of his works. And rest, abstention from work, was the hallmark of the Jewish Sabbath. On the other side, there is the world of the Lord's Day, as it is called in the New Testament, the first day of the week, just as the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. And the emphasis in the Lord's Day is not so much on rest, although there is rest in the Lord's Day, so much as it is on resurrection. Because the bridge that links these two worlds, the Jewish world of the Sabbath and the Christian world of the Lord's Day is the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ is the bridge between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. Now, of course, there are certain things you can't take over the bridge with you. You cannot take the penalties imposed for Sabbath breaking. The penalty for breaking the Sabbath in the Old Testament was death by stoning. And there is one recorded instance of a man who was discovered gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And he was stoned for desecrating the Sabbath. You can't take that over the bridge into the Lord's Day. What we can take over the bridge is the spirit of the Sabbath. We are to rest from our labors as God rested from His. We are to rest from our works as Jesus did on the Saturday. But as well as resting from our labors and our works, we are to rise from the dead as Jesus did on the first day of the week. Every Christian should rejoice in the Lord's Day with the joy that Jesus had when He rose from the grave. We are to rest on the Lord's Day because it is a day of rest. But we are also to rise from the dead on the Lord's Day because it is a day of resurrection. We are to give up our works to rise from the dead and enter into newness of resurrection life. And so what Jesus is pleading for here in this story of walking through the cornfields is not for a liberalizing of the Sabbath. Those who want a more liberal Lord's Day will find no comfort in the teaching of Jesus. Those who want a continental Sabbath can find no support in the teaching of Jesus. A continental Sabbath is a Sabbath when men come to the kirk in the morning and do what they like for the rest of the day. As a matter of fact, many churchgoers are already celebrating a continental Sabbath. They come to the kirk in the morning and do what they like for the rest of the day. Those who want a continental Sabbath will find no comfort in the words of Jesus, because Jesus observed the Sabbath. He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law of God. How could Christ die sinlessly if He broke the Sabbath of God? Jesus is not against the Sabbath, and He is not for a liberal Sabbath. Jesus is for compassion and mercy. If you have a burst pipe on the Sabbath, Jesus will mend it for you. That's a work of necessity and of mercy. If your house is on fire on the Sabbath, Jesus will help you to put out the flames. It's a work of necessity and of mercy. If you're taken seriously ill on the Sabbath, He will do something about it. These are works of necessity and mercy and compassion, and Jesus is for them. But he isn't for a liberalizing of his day. And he is against hypocrisy. Hendrickson, that great Reformed commentator, points out in his commentary on Luke that the rabbis in Jesus' day had devised a table of things that could not be done. And they had 39 principal works which could not be done on the Sabbath. And each of these 39 principal works was subdivided into 6 subordinate works. So you had 39 lists of works that could not be done on the Sabbath. For example, a woman was not allowed to look into a mirror on the Sabbath day, lest she see a grey hair and be tempted to pull it out, which would be work. An egg that had been laid on the Sabbath day could not be eaten, since the poor hen had travailed to produce the egg. You could only travel so far on the Sabbath. That was called a Sabbath day's journey. And then you had to stop, because to go beyond that was work, and work was prohibited. And wherever you get that sort of thing, lists of do's and don'ts, you get hypocrisy. And Jesus is against hypocrisy. You found Pharisees who would travel the Sabbath day's journey, and then they would pretend to set up a new house there, in a tent or a booth. And that would be the new home, so that from the new home they could travel another Sabbath day's journey without breaking the law. That is why in some parts of Scotland you will find men as drunk as lords on a Saturday night, and they'll be sitting in the kirk on the Lord's Day with their dour Sabbath faces. Hypocrisy. I know Murray Coast fishermen along the coast who sit in their kitchens with their working clothes on, waiting till midnight strikes on the Lord's Day so that they can set out to sea and catch fish and make money. What hypocrisy. When you get lists of rules and regulations, of do's and of don'ts, you get hypocrisy. And where you get men and women who do not know the Lord of the Sabbath personally, you get hypocrisy. Do you know the Lord of the Sabbath? Is he your personal friend? Is he your Savior and your lover and your God and your husband? Jesus is for compassion and mercy. He is against the liberalizing of his day. And he's also against hypocrisy. My friend, have you crossed the bridge yet? Have you crossed the bridge from a world of mere rules and regulations to the world of resting in Christ, to the world of resurrection from dead works, to serve the living God in newness of life. Have you crossed the bridge yet? There's one very good reason why you should cross the bridge. You see, the Bible teaches that Sabbath observance is more than just keeping laws and rules and regulations. The Bible teaches that the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people. Will you turn in closing to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and at verse 10. There are two verses here which speak of the God's Sabbath as being a sign between God and His people. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 10. God says, "And so I led them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them at Mount Sinai my statutes and showed them my ordinances, by whose observance man shall live." Notice that. There is nothing restrictive or inhibiting in following the laws of God. You will never be the poorer a person for obeying God's laws. If you want to live life to the full, keep the commandments of God. That's the meaning of the word live here. I gave them my Sabbaths, verse 12. I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I, the Lord, sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my ordinances, by whose observance man shall live life to the full. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. You know, that word profane is made up of two words, profanis. Profanis means in front of the temple. And in front of the temple was the place for the dogs and the outsiders and the Gentiles. It was the common place. And to profane something is to make it common. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. The Sabbath as a sign. Later on in the same chapter, in verse 19. I, the Lord, am your God. Walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances and hallow my Sabbaths, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my ordinances, by whose observance man shall live. They profaned outside the temple. They profaned my Sabbaths. You see, the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. And the Lord's Day is a sign between Christ and the Christian. If you like, and here's a very useful analogy. The Lord's Day is like a wedding ring. Now, a wedding ring on a woman's hand is a sign that she is married. And when a Christian keeps the Lord's Day, it's a sign that he is married to Christ. But of course, a wife can take off her wedding ring, and she could choose to go around not wearing her wedding ring. It would be a bit strange, wouldn't it? She would still be married, because it's not the ring that makes her a married woman. The ring is only a sign that she's married. But if she did go around without the ring, her husband would think there was something wrong with the marriage, wouldn't he? And so, if you are married to Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, you wear the ring and you keep his day. And by that, I don't mean you keep his half day. The Lord's day lasts for 24 hours, like any other day in the week. It doesn't last for an hour and a half. If you are married to Christ, you keep the Lord's day and you wear the wedding ring he's given you. If you like, you can take the ring off. It would be a bit strange. You would still be married to Christ, but your husband would think there was something very strange about the marriage. You see, taking the ring off doesn't affect the marriage, but it does affect the relationship. And so if you disregard the sanctity of God's day and sit lightly on the Lord's day, what in fact you are doing is you're taking off the wedding ring. You may still be married to Christ, but the relationship between you and Christ has been spoiled. Do you observe the sign? Is the sign of the Lord's Day prominent in your life? Are you wearing the ring? Are you married to the Lord of the Sabbath? Blessed is the man who does this, says Isaiah, and the Son of Man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing evil. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Are you wearing the ring? Are you married to the Lord of the Sabbath? Amen. May God add his blessing to the preaching of his holy word. A hymn about the Lord's day. We miss out the third verse. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light. 268, missing out the third verse and using the tune Elecum.